Welcome to the Nowercast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host. We've got a fascinating lineup today, touching on both the bleeding edge of AI development and some intense platform politics.
That's right. It feels like we're seeing some major tectonic shifts today in how both code and apps are distributed.
Absolutely. We're going to start with GitHub making a huge move by adding Moonshot AI's Kimi K2.7 to Copilot, marking the first time an open-weight model has hit their model picker.
And it's a massive one. 1 trillion parameters, built as a mixture of experts. But it's not without some pretty explicit warnings from GitHub about alignment.
We'll dig into what that means for enterprise teams. Then we are going to look at Google's new Android developer verification program. F-Droid is already calling it malware, which gives you a sense of how well it's being received in the open source community.
Yeah, the phrase threat masquerading as protection is being thrown around. It's a classic security versus openness debate, but with massive stakes for independent developers.
Let's start with our first deep dive, which comes from the GitHub blog. Kimi K2.7 code is generally available in GitHub Copilot. This is a significant milestone for Copilot. Up until now, if you were using GitHub's AI assistant, you were essentially locked into Microsoft's proprietary models, primarily relying on the OpenAI ecosystem. Now, they've introduced Kimi K2.7 code, which is a 1 trillion parameter mixture of experts model developed by Moonshot AI.
And the big headline here is that this is the first open-weight model you can select directly within the Copilot model picker. It's rolling out to Copilot Pro, Pro Plus, and Max plans right now. For business and enterprise tiers, it's going to be available in the coming weeks, though it will require administrators to explicitly enable it.
Right. And that requirement for admin enablement ties into some of the caveats GitHub is attaching to this release. They've explicitly noted that Kimi K2.7 may be less aligned than their other Copilot offerings. They even said it carries an elevated risk of producing harmful content, although they are still applying their standard content filtering over the top of it.
Which is such an interesting framing from a platform as massive as GitHub. Less aligned is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. On one hand, developers often complain that highly aligned proprietary models can be overly cautious. We've all seen examples where an AI refuses to write certain types of security testing code or won't generate a harmless bash script because it triggers a safety filter designed to prevent malware creation. So an open-weight model that is less restricted could actually be highly appealing for specific use cases like penetration testing, complex system debugging, or just getting out of the developer's way.
But on the enterprise side, that elevated risk warning is going to give compliance teams serious pause. If you are a CTO or a chief information security officer, do you want your developers using a tool that the platform itself says might produce harmful content? Even with standard filtering applied, the underlying model's raw outputs are fundamentally less predictable than something that has been red-teamed to death by OpenAI.
Exactly. And that is the core trade-off here. Moonshot AI designed Kimi K2.7 specifically for long-horizon coding tasks. It boasts a 256K context window, which is absolutely massive for an in-IDE tool. That means it can hold an enormous amount of your repository in memory at once. It excels at repository exploration, multi-file bug fixing, and generating complex interconnected code architecture.
When you compare that to established leaders like Claude or GPT-4o, how do you think it stacks up in real-world scenarios? Because Claude, especially with its recent updates, has been the gold standard for large context coding tasks.
The early benchmarks and community feedback suggest it is highly competitive, particularly in those multi-file tasks where context retention over long prompts is critical. The mixture of experts architecture is key here. By routing queries to specialized subnetworks, Kimi K2.7 can be surprisingly fast and computationally efficient for a 1 trillion parameter model. It doesn't activate the whole trillion parameters for every single autocomplete suggestion. But again, because it is an open-weight model from Moonshot AI, it simply doesn't have the same years of aggressive enterprise safety fine-tuning that Anthropic has applied to Claude.
And that brings us to the pricing and cost to performance ratio. Users are already raising questions about how this fits into the Copilot ecosystem from a cost perspective. If you're on a Pro or Max plan, it's included in the subscription. But for enterprise teams looking at API usage or bulk licensing, evaluating the return on investment of KimiK 2.7 versus a proprietary model is going to be complex.
It really will be. If Kimi can solve a complex multi-file bug in one shot because of that 256K context window, it might save hours of developer time, making it incredibly cost-effective. But if it occasionally goes off the rails, hallucinates strange dependencies, or requires more manual review because it's less aligned, that eats directly into the efficiency gains you were hoping to achieve.
It also signals a broader industry shift that we've been tracking on this show. GitHub is acknowledging that developers want granular control over their tools. They don't want a one-size-fits-all AI. By opening up the Copilot model picker to third-party open-weight models, GitHub is essentially turning Copilot into an agnostic platform rather than just a Microsoft and OpenAI product.
Which is exactly what they need to do to stay competitive. We've seen local development tools and alternative IDEs gaining massive traction recently, specifically by allowing developers to plug in whatever open-weight model they want. GitHub is responding to that pressure. They're saying, you want open-weight? Here's a 1 trillion parameter beast. Just be careful with it.
I'm really curious to see the adoption numbers on the enterprise side once administrators have the option to toggle it on in the coming weeks. My guess is we'll see a lot of pilots in isolated environments, but full-scale rollouts might be slow until companies can independently verify the safety and alignment of the outputs for their specific code bases.
I agree completely. It's going to be a fascinating test case for the viability of open-weight, less-aligned models in highly regulated corporate environments. It's one thing for a solo developer to use it, it's another for a Fortune 500 company to sanction it.
All right, we've got a few more stories to hit before we wrap up today. Let's move into our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got a final legal ruling on AI patents and a look at the cultural shift back toward old-school web forums.
First up in the roundup, AI can't be listed as inventor on patent applications, Japan's top court rules. On March 4th, 2026, Japan's Supreme Court ruled against Dr. Stephen Thaler, who has been trying to patent inventions created by his AI system Davis by listing the AI itself as the sole inventor.
This ruling really marks the final chapter in Japan's involvement in the global Davis litigation. The Japan Patent Office originally rejected the application because it didn't name a natural person, and the court has now affirmed that Japanese patent law presumes an inventor must be human. AI simply lacks the legal personhood to hold these rights.
It aligns Japan with the US and Europe, which have made identical rulings. It raises a huge question, though. Does this effectively render fully autonomous AI-generated inventions public domain by default? If no human can claim the invention, and the AI can't hold the patent, companies investing billions in AI research and development might find themselves unable to protect their automated discoveries.
The court actually noted that current law didn't anticipate modern AI and suggested future legislation might be needed. So the ball is now in the legislature's court to figure out how to balance incentivizing AI innovation with traditional human authorship requirements.
Next up, a piece from the Tedium newsletter titled "Bring Back Crappy Forums." Author Ernie Smith makes a compelling argument that modern, algorithm-driven social media leaves users feeling hollow, and he contrasts that with the genuine community feel of mid-2000s chronological web forums.
It's a sentiment that's really gaining traction. People are experiencing intense platform fatigue. The argument is that traditional web forums, which function like bulletin boards, are vastly superior for long-term information retention and searchability. Unlike the ephemeral, upvote-driven feeds we have today, forums build a permanent, searchable archive of niche knowledge.
Critics of modern platforms point out that the upvote and downvote model inherently drives echo chambers and toxic behavior. Traditional forums rely on consistent, rule-based moderation by actual humans, which often fosters healthier communities.
The discussion really centers on whether this is a genuine shift in user behavior or just nostalgia. Can small, independent forums scale to meet modern expectations? Or is their limited reach and crappiness actually their greatest strength? I lean toward the latter. The friction keeps the community focused.
That's a great point. And I think we'll see more niche communities retreating to those older formats as the mega platforms become increasingly automated. That is all the time we have for today's episode of the NoraCast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to dive deeper into any of the stories we covered today, you can find all the links in our show notes.
We'll be back tomorrow with more of the latest in tech, AI, and the systems that power our world. Until then, take care.